Formula with me, Lucy Parsons. Welcome to this episode where I've got an interview for you with Claire Jones, who is a coach for children, and she is going to be talking about how she is helping children and teenagers go back to school with confidence. Before we go into today's episode, I just wanted to make sure you knew about my Back to School download, which is there to help you to prepare your children to go back to school in an academic way. Okay, I'm going to put a link to it to the download in today's show notes. But what you can find out when you download that is the two key ingredients to a successful year at school, no matter what you're studying. Which three vital routines maximise your child's chances of success, and which pieces of stationery every successful student should own. Okay, so do go over to the show notes for today's episode to find the link for that. If you're listening on your podcast player in your phone, you should find the link in there, or if you go over to my website, you'll find it there. Okay, let's go over to our interview today with Claire Jones. Welcome to the School Success Formula, Claire.
Thank you for having me on, Lucy. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's fantastic to have you here. So before we go into the juicy stuff, Claire, can you introduce yourself and tell the listeners a little bit about you and how you got to be doing what you're doing?
Sure, of course. So, I'm a mother of two. We've got an 11-year-old and a 9-year-old. And I'm an NLP practitioner and a personal development coach. So I specialise helping children and teenagers really understand and manage their own emotions so that they can get the results, the behaviours, the outcomes, whatever it is themselves, what they really desire. And I specialise with the young people, and I work very closely with the families in this whole process. Predominantly a one-to-one coaching is how I do that. And how I started was probably 3 years ago. I had a massive career change, to be fair, and somebody introduced NLP to me, which I thought was just fascinating, and went away and got fully trained up on it, and currently doing a master practitioner at the moment. And it was transformational. Our son at the time was suffering from separation anxieties, and it completely transformed him and us as parents and our family to help him. And so my business was really kind of went from a very organic state from helping our son to then my desire to help one other child or young person. So, and it's just grown from there, which has been phenomenal.
Amazing. And I know you've been doing a lot of work supporting families through the lockdown and school closures. Can you tell us a bit about what you've been doing there as well?
Yeah, of course. So lockdown has had different results and effects on everyone, understandably. And I think clients which have been really anxious and nervous, it's almost provided them with a wonderful chance to reset and a recalibrate. And the fact they've been at home, they've arguably had both their parents at home, especially the father, which they might not have seen much of the father, during work times. It's been a wonderful opportunity for children. And many clients have reported back to saying that, there's no need for any extra sessions and help from me, because they've had that close family unit, which has been a gift, to be fair, and has really helped support them from all the other anxieties that school can be associated with. So there's that category, and there's another category, I guess, which is children with whatever characteristic or behaviour they're showing. Lockdown has in some cases driven more anxiety or more frustration or more anger, whatever their sort of baseline behavior has been, sometimes that has just been accentuated through the, I think the as you mentioned before, you know, the having like no routine and not being able to get out, the lack of exercise, which I think is massive for children. All those things which we're used to, seeing our friends, you know, and the safe place and the routine of school has never been so important or so missed, I think, as well. So it's had really mixed effects on many children. And I think with the fact that I've completely pivoted my business from seeing children and young people and families face to face at my home, or I do work with a couple of schools as well, I've been able to see a lot more children and have naturally been busier because I can do everything via Zoom or FaceTime. Mm. So, you know, geography is no longer a limitation. It's been great. So, yeah.
No, I think it's been fascinating. You know, in my own work, I've seen students who, being at home, for them, it's been a massive relief not to be in that school environment every day. And, you know, they find the school environment really quite difficult and stressful. So being at home and being able to study on their own terms and not have the kind of social pressures and the noise and the bustle and all that kind of thing has been a hugely positive thing. But then there are those on the other hand who've been absolutely bereft without the contact with their friends and all that kind of thing. So it's been hugely varied, hasn't it? Mm. How children have responded to the situation. So now we're all thinking about going back to school after this really long break away from schools. In your work, kind of what worries and concerns are you hearing from children and teenagers about actually going back to school?
I think it's across the board, and I think it starts with almost the preschoolers, which have become a lot more clingy because arguably they haven't had that natural social interaction with, you know, family, grandparents, friends. You know, we're not allowed to hug each other, which has understandably led some to be a lot more clingy. I'm at the moment seeing a lot of sort of 10, 11 year olds, seems to me sort of my natural gravitational pull at the moment, who are understandably concerned about going to secondary school because that's all new. They haven't had the trial days or the getting used to days or whatever it is that would have normally happened. So there's a big shift there, that there is a lot of anxiety there, that, you know, making that transition, and a lot of parents obviously want to make sure that that is a positive, a good, and they feel confident with that transition. And then I think, like you'll know, you know, extremely well, Lucy, you know, the older teenagers, you know, the GCSEs and the A levels, that how things have been so different from them, and then going on to university as well. It's just the roadmaps change massively for them, and it's them adjusting to the unknown. And I think that's the biggest thing, that parents and children, they want to see what school is going to be like. Yeah, they want to see what it's going to be like physically. They want to know what they can and they can't do. Has been one of the biggest
yeah, things. It's just like, yeah, my own daughter, she, you know, has just been desperate to go back to school. But I've said to her so many times about, you know, it's going to be different. But not being able to quantify the difference, you know, say it precisely what is going to be different about it, has been really difficult for her and has kind of made her panic. And, you know, as a parent, that's difficult to deal with because you don't want her going back in thinking, oh, it's going to be exactly the same as it's always been, because it's not. But if you can't actually give her the details and it makes her very worried and stressed, thinking that it's going to be different from the kind of picture she has of school in her head, you know, that's a really difficult situation as a parent to deal with, isn't it? And I know our school has sent, well, they put some stuff on their school website when the year sixes went back about, you know, what a few things that were going to be different, like they were all going to be facing the front and, you know, the teacher was going to be in their box at the front of the room and all this kind of stuff. So that's useful, but there's going to be minutiae of the school day that just we don't know about yet, do we?
No, absolutely. And they want vision of that. And I think it's sort of where we as parents, our children kind of want us to walk this with them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think it to help our children, if we can sort of imagine ourselves in their shoes, I think is the closest way that we can create that bond of empathy. And asking yourself, you know, of a 10-year-old girl, what do I need? You know, what do I need to know to nourish your, you know, desire of the unknown is really important to do so. It's just that they want to know that they've got our support, whatever it is, and for us to feel confident in ourselves as well, because we might not know all the answers, but I think be honest with our children, the fact we don't know the answers, hey, because, you know, we absolutely don't, and the headmaster or the headmistress probably doesn't know all the answers because things are changing so much. And I think if we can be open and almost vulnerable, you know, when we're vulnerable, we're open, and we're not saying that we know what's going to happen or everything's going to happen, but when we share that we're in this together with them and whatever they're feeling is normal and, you know, you're absolutely rock solid by them, that will give them the space to open up and share what they are feeling. And, you know, to share what you are feeling as well. That's a great space to open up with each other. And sometimes it doesn't need to be open up. Sometimes you just need to be, you know, with permission to be in their space, to know that, you know, for them to know that you're there is sometimes all that is needed, I think.
So, I mean, one of the concerns that my daughter expressed to me when she was quite upset about various different things was about catching and spreading the virus to people who were special to her. And as a parent, it's really difficult to give, I mean, you can't dismiss that, can you? Because it, you know, there is science out there that says that younger children are less likely to spread it. Teenagers are actually slightly more likely to spread it than younger children. And, you know, parents of teenagers are going to be the people listening to this. But, you know, it's not an unrealistic concern from a child to be worrying about that. And, you know, as a parent, how do we, you know, it's a very strange situation to be saying, I'm sending you off into the school environment, and yet I am not 100% sure that it is safe for you and me for you to be going there. So, like, how would you recommend that parents deal with that kind of a challenge?
Great question.
Something that we would usually do, is it? Send our children.
Yeah, no. And that's the thing. This is, you know, we have to almost just take a moment. None of us have parented through a global pandemic. Nor, I think, do we really want to do so, you know, in the future. So I think, you know, firstly, we have to give ourselves grace and to be kind to ourselves and for our children to take that belief on board as well. We need to, you know, we need to be realistic with our expectations and what we can do and can't do, and really, really remember to be kind to ourselves. I think it's to meet our children where they're at. So some children would want to know all the detail. They'll want to know all 9 yards of what's happening. And other children are not bothered. They just want to go back to school, or they're worried about X, but they don't really want to talk about it. And I think we need to really get in rapport and tune into their thinking program and meet them where they're at and, you know, be there and offer your support when they want it. There's a great thing I do with teenagers as well. It's quite good. you know, it's like a code. There's three things on there. You come in and you can ask him, you know, how's your day been? And out of 10, they can mark it like 1 to 10. And then you can ask them to describe it in one word. So they can describe the day in one word. And then just say, do you want to talk about it now? You know, yes or no. If it's a yes, fine, talk about it. If it's a no, just for them to know that you're there whenever they want to talk about it, I think. So it's not an intrusion, and it's just the fact that, you know, you are there for them when they want to talk, gives that sort of that space for them to come to you. But I think with going back to the point about, you know, the uncertainty is being honest with them. You know, we haven't got all the answers. There is a risk. I think if we're open and honest with them, and if they want the facts and figures, if we're small chunk thinking, you know, fine, let's give them the facts. And the risks, as you and I know, are very, very low for children. And if we do everything we're asked to do, we do our hand washing, we have social distance as we should, and what provision we can realistically do as well at school, you know, will help massively. I think also for children to write down, or however they want to, they can draw it, write it down, talk about it, what they know to be true. So write down what they know to be true, what they know that is safe, what they can do. So they're all the time focusing on the outcome and what they want and what they can do, as opposed to kind of away from negative thinking, can really, really help some children. So
what, can you give an example of what that might look like?
Yeah, so for example, if your daughter is worried about coming back and passing the virus, I would write down, you know, what she knows to be true about school. So from your information you've got from school, for her to know what her classroom will look like, you know, what lunchtime will be like, which teachers are doing what, you know, any information that you can gain, which they know to be true and that is going to happen, because then they've got those certain factors there.
It's an anchor, yeah? Really, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. They've got those anchors they can go to. And some, you know, some strategies that, you know, for children, I do like a hand of trust, you know, I draw around their hand and write on each finger somebody that you would go to if you had a concern or a worry. So they've got that, they can keep it in their backpack or something if they want to, if they're a bit younger. So they know at school they can go to X or Y to you know, have a chat if they're feeling worried, and their friends as well. So they know that they've got that support crew at school and at home, and those people are there for them, you know, whenever they need to have that conversation.
Yeah, I think going back to the thing about, you know, we haven't got all the answers, you know, with all the A-level and GCSE results that debacle that's been going on, and we're recording this on Monday the 17th of August, so we don't know the outcome of all that just yet. You know, one parent said to me last week, how do I explain this situation to my child as being fair? And I said, well, you don't. You just tell them what the facts are, because, you know, you can't explain something as being fair if it isn't actually fair. And, you know, with this situation, it's analogous to that, in that you can say, you know, you can't say that it's 100% safe, but you can say we can make it as safe as it can possibly be by washing your hands and social distancing and, you know, coughing into your elbow and all those kinds of things. And, you know, those are the actions that we can take. But, you know, if the children are up to it, you know, explaining to them what the risks are of not going back to school, you know, because there's two sides of it, aren't there? It's not just about staying at home, it's what you're losing by not being there. And this kind of, it sounds very clinical, but it's like a cost-benefit analysis of, you know, going into school or not going into school and that kind of thing. So, Claire, how might children be displaying worries other than like coming in and saying, "Mummy, I'm really worried about this," or "Mum, if they're teenagers, you know, this is on my mind," kind of thing. How might they be displaying concern about heading back to school?
I think in, I guess, many different ways. And you know, as parents or carers, you know your child better than anyone, and I think it can be perhaps feeling more quiet, not wanting to talk about school, a complete shutdown when you talk about school. Whatever's normal to that child when they're feeling that they can't cope with what's in front of them, I think you're arguably getting more of that.
So what behaviour is their kind of cry for help or their difference from normal kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people will find it quite difficult to put into words exactly what the concern is and what the worry is. Mm-hmm. You know, it might be things like, "I'm just worried about getting used to the school routine again." And, you know, the school routine can be quite full on, can't it? And take a bit of energy and attention and all that kind of thing. So it might be simple things like that. So I think the thing that's really coming out for me from what you're saying, Claire, is about relationships and the importance of the depth of the relationship with your child. And I loved what you said about give your day like a score out of 10, describe it in one word, and then ask if you want to talk about it. Because a lot of the parents that I work with, they find that their teenager's quite monosyllabic about things. It's like, "It's fine. What did you do today? Stuff," kind of, you know, those kind of things. But that question, like, "Would you like to talk about it?" is the invitation, isn't it? It's like, you don't need to, but I'm here if you are. Is there anything else that you would say to parents to kind of open those doors as wide as possible to those kind of conversations?
I think it's having awareness of yourself, what you're doing yourself, what you're thinking, feeling and doing, because arguably what you're doing is going to be copied and completely absorbed by your child. And, you know, we are kind of, like it or not, we are role models for our children. And so I think to start with that self-awareness of us as parents, that is it our child that is anxious or is it us that is anxious about going back to school? Because we can be happily feeding our anxiety to our children. And that was a place I came from. And then it hit me like a thunderbolt. I'm like, okay, I need to change this tune here. And then we need to focus on where we want to get to. So we've always got to think about the end goal, the outcome that we absolutely want. And all the great stuff about school, as you referred to earlier, you know, that my children actually really can't wait to get back to school. It's been such a long time, you know, without it. And we need to remind ourselves and almost do a poster or whatever it might be of all the great stuff that school brings us, because it really is phenomenal. And I think this time away has allowed children to really reflect on it. So it's to think about all the great stuff that will happen at school. You know, will happen at school. There's no denying it. You know, it is going to look different for sure, but we're going to be honest with them and we're going to go that journey with them. But I think as a parent, so I'd say, so have that self-awareness of what we're doing. How has that been fed to the children? Creating space for our children as well and teenagers. Really taking time, just carve time out of your day to allow them the chance to talk if they want to talk as well. And by that, it's really listening. Listening with no distractions on your behalf, as in put our phones, computers down, whatever it is, and giving someone our undivided attention, I think, is the most precious gift you can give someone. So when we as parents turn up 100% present, it gives our children and teenagers the greatest chance to then connect with us, would be my thoughts on that, really.
I that's fascinating, Claire. I remember one mum at the beginning of lockdown who was very, very anxious about, her daughter was in year 10. She was very anxious about the impact of school closures on her daughter's learning and academic progress. And she was very critical of the school and in front of her daughter, and her daughter picked up on all of that and in turn lost respect for what the school was doing in terms of providing lessons at home, and, you know, really picked up on her mum's anxiety and all that kind of thing. And her mum did say on one of the coaching calls in the Extraordinaries Club, you know, that I needed to get that in check to, you know, I she recognised that she was kind of feeding that anxiety to her daughter, and, you know, it had that awareness. But you've been there, Claire. How do you make that switch from having these anxieties? How do you, presumably you can't just switch them off. So how do you, like, stop communicating them if you can't overnight switch them off?
Sure. I think it's as soon as we have the awareness, when we have an awareness of what we're doing, we then have a choice, you know. And I ask myself, I mean, this is how I'd probably do it in my coaching, but then somebody said to me, Claire, you're focusing too much on the worry and the anxiety. And I thought, right, okay. So if I'm focusing on the wrong way, I need to turn direction and focusing on what I do want to do, and be mindful of it, you know, just having that awareness. When I can think that I'm probably in the past focusing on what I don't want to focus on, is to think where you want to focus. And I always recommend sort of using positive, clean language as well. Really, really helps to actually say what we want to have happen.
Can you give an example of that?
Absolutely. So we'd often say, you know, I don't want to be late. Yeah, as opposed to I want to be on time. Mm-hmm. Because we can, we'll often say the what we don't want to have happen, and we put a don't in front of it. Whereas our brains, they can't compute the don't. We just focus on the late.
Yes.
So we get more of that. The law of attraction. We get more late. We get, you know, don't run. We get more run. You know, I want you to be, you know, don't shout. You know, we get more shout, and that's what's wired into our heads and our young people's heads as well. So it's to saying what we do want to have happen. You know, I'd love you to use your quiet voice. I would love you to walk. Let's get there on time, because then we're focusing in the right direction.
Yeah. So in this context, it might be saying, I want my child to return to school with confidence or something like that.
Yeah. And totally believing in them. And I think that starts with us, that we need to totally believe in ourselves, and back ourselves as well, that, you know, having that newfound awareness of what we're doing is completely being streamed into our children. Believing in ourselves, believing in our own choices that we've made, that we have made the right choice at the right time, with what we've got available, and for our children to know that as well. And for saying what we want to have happen, because you know, there's a belief of NLP which I think is really empowering, and that is to say that, you know, there is no failure, only feedback. So whatever we're doing, you know, is all, if we could take that on, that belief that everything is feedback for us, everything is a learning, and to really ask ourselves, whatever we're doing, however small, what is the learning in this? Because if our children and young people and ourselves could really take on that belief, it is hugely empowering, and it gives us a great willingness to try without any restrictions or any judgment of ourselves or others as well. So it's a wonderful belief, should we wish to take that on board.
I think that's fabulous. I think it chimes into the philosophy that I teach my clients, when you do a mock exam and you don't do as well, what's the feedback? What can you learn from it? And all that kind of thing. Or, that revision technique didn't work as well as you might have liked it to have done. How can you build on that and learn from it and change it to move forwards and be better? Mm. So it's the same thing, isn't it? But just with emotions and, your psychological reactions to things rather than your learning. Yeah.
And it's often little tweaks, isn't it? It's not, we're not going to, we're going to build things massively. It's all about the small tweaks, I think, that we can make in our everyday lives or habits that make the big difference. And if it doesn't work, do something different. Be prepared to change is a really, really important thing as well.
Definitely. Okay, well, that's been absolutely fascinating and really useful. So I think the kind of takeaway that I've got from today is to give your child space to talk to you, ask them the questions, would you like to talk about it now or later? Give them the space to choose, spend time with them with no distractions, and to really kind of focus on the outcome that we want rather than focusing on how we're feeling right now. So we all want to be confident and we're confident, really. I can't think of a better word for it, to go back to school and get back into a really good education and healthy relationships with other people and all that kind of thing. That's been amazing, Claire. Thank you. I know at the moment you're running a course. I don't know how you describe it. You described it to people, but I'm signed up for it, and I've watched the video today, and it was brilliant. And I recommend it. So, Claire, tell us about it, because it might help.
Thank you, Lucy. Yeah, I just feel so passionate to help parents and children and teenagers get back to school this September feeling more confident. I think you've put the nail on the head. It is about confidence. And so I've created a course which actually started today. Well, actually started Monday the 17th of August. And it's a 2-week course. And when you sign up, I will send you a video every morning with helpful tips, tools, and strategies to help you as a parent and your children, get back to school feeling more confident. So real ways to really understand and connect with your young people, and ways in which they can really understand and manage their own state, and communication tips as well, and listening tips and clean language, all those things we talked about as well. So just so everyone feels as supported as they can, and it's absolutely free, and I just feel passionate to help as many people as I can, because this is, as I know we've all said it a million times, totally unprecedented times, and there's enough children which can find it hard enough going back to school in normal circumstances. There's a lot which haven't been to school for 6 months, so it's my little gift to those which want to feel a bit more empowered getting back to school.
That's amazing. So how can people sign up for that course, Claire, if they're interested in it?
Yeah, so it's on my Instagram bio, the link, and on my Claire Jones Coaching Facebook page on the top of the post.
And what's your Instagram handle?
It's Claire_Jones_coaching.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll put this in the show notes for everybody. So I'll put a link to your Instagram, your Facebook, and I'll put a direct link to sign up for the course as well, so that people.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you, Lucy.
Yeah, and you also do one-to-one, don't you? So if people feel like they want a little bit more support with going back to school, they can get in touch with you through your website.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where, you know, life started out, one-to-one, face-to-face coaching, which I am now, you know, back doing face-to-face work. But I find that we can do so much more, you know, regards to geography on Zoom and FaceTime sessions as well. So by all means, give me a call if you would like, obviously, a more one-to-one bespoke session for your son or daughter. It'd be my pleasure.
Fantastic. Well, that's been so helpful to think through that and think through how we can support our children to go back to school with confidence this September. Thank you so much for your time today, Claire.
So thank you so much, Lucy.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So for all the listeners, please do check out Claire's free course, because it is hugely insightful and helpful. I'm learning a lot from it already. And don't forget my back to school download, which will help you with the more academic rather than the more emotional side of things. With the two of us together, me and Claire, you've got it covered. So you can find the link for everything that we've talked about today in the show notes. So all it remains for me to say today is thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day. And goodbye.